Everything that is recorded in the Holy Scriptures has the Holy Spirit's approval as being important for us to know. The Bible could be a lot thicker and also a lot thinner, but it's exactly the size that the Holy Spirit wanted it to be. It's all what God wanted to tell us. And the revelation is complete. But yet you notice that the Holy Spirit sometimes singles out certain portions of the Scripture as more special of our attention than others. And He does that by the Holy Spirit's exclamation mark, the word "Behold." Now look at Luke chapter 2, verse 25. We find that word "Behold" there. And, comma, "Behold." It's not a verb like beholding, looking. It is a word that, I think it's an adverb, but I might be in problems now. It's a word that's going to call our attention. Watch it. Pay attention. What's coming now is worthy your attention. Now, then we get the story of Simeon and we get the story of Anna. Now, what is so important about those two histories of these two people of whom we know just only what is recorded here? Well, I think two reasons. One of them is to encourage those of us who are like Simeon and Anna. Both of them, plus a whole other group that is not named, were looking for a solution in their lives. And the word "solution" is here the word "redemption." It's the word that speaks about being freed from your past, from your present, but mostly from your problem between you and God. Redemption. And you know, Anna and Simeon and all those who were like-minded were waiting on God. Notice in verse 25, waiting. Now, literally, that means expecting eagerly. Now, you don't expect anything eagerly if somebody didn't tell you that it was coming. You don't expect anything eagerly and sit there waiting for it and waiting for it if you were not sure it was coming. So here we have a man and a woman and many others with them, who are obviously eagerly looking forward to something that was promised long ago, short ago, didn't matter when, but they had a promise they were waiting for. However, let's learn right away, God is not on our timetable. God is not having the same kind of thinking about time as we do. I was reading the other day the story of Jairus. Remember, Jairus came to ask, "Lord, please come and hurry, my daughter is dying." And Jesus goes along. This is an acute case. This is the emergency of emergencies. And along the way, he gets disrupted by this woman who has an acute, no, and chronic problem. It's been 12 years. Who could wait for a little while? But no, he stops everything and he takes his time. And Jairus is eating himself up, isn't he? And Jesus says, "Just believe only. I'm in control of time and circumstances. You let me rule your life, and not you, me ruling. You're not you ruling my life." See, you may be sitting here already for a long time, laying your finger by a promise that God has spoken to you, and reminding God of it, and reminding God of it. And please do that. God likes that. Reminding Him. Lord, on Thy word do I hope. What word? What's the word you're hoping on that? Go open this Scripture and find it. And put your finger in it. Now, you may be doing that for quite a while, because God is not on your time schedule. But one thing is for sure. Behold, this man got an answer. Because God does keep His word. Simeon, Anna. Now, the second reason I believe it's there is to search us.
Obviously, when many people around this time were talking about Messiah, just like today, multitudes are talking about Jesus. You know, these two are on a different wavelength than talking. It's Simeon and Anna and her friends. They aren't just talking. They're wrestling. They're exercised spiritually with the Word of God. See, that's a whole different life. And so let's search ourselves also tonight by this scripture. Is this life of Simeon and the grace in the life of Simeon reflected in our life? So, congregation, we can do a history study tonight, and that's interesting. It's beautiful to study this portion of Simeon and Anna, but I don't think the Holy Spirit wrote it for history lesson. He wrote it for message. He wrote it for appeal. He wrote it for exhortation. He wrote it for correction. He wrote it for instruction in the way of peace. So I'm asking two questions tonight. Well, three questions. First, are you Simeon's travel companion? Because then you're a blessed man, right? If you're like Simeon, you are a blessed man or woman. So the two questions that come out of Simeon's life is, what is drawing you? And what is comforting you? Let's take a look at this scripture tonight of Simeon. Simeon's journey was because he felt drawn to Christ. Now, Christ here is the word Messiah. That's the Old Testament promised Savior. You would ask Simeon, give me some details about this Messiah, and he probably could tell you mighty little. Except what he would read in the Old Testament scriptures, which are like a curtain over a statue. Now you see the big statue standing there, and the artist has made the whole statue, but it's a big white curtain over it. That's the Old Testament. Now we can see it's tall, we can see it's wide, and we can see something sticks out here and something sticks out there, but we got no clue what a thing looks like under the white curtain. That's the Old Testament. Simeon's, Anna, and all these saints in the Old Testament, they see this statue, as it were, of God's promises. There's a veil over, the cover. And here in the New Testament, what does God do now? He takes off the cover of that statue. And that's the Hebrew word, and also the Greek word, reveal. Uncover. And so he has now finally in the New Testament completely uncovered everything he has hidden in the Old Testament. So that's Simeon. He doesn't know exactly all the details about this coming of the promise that God gave about the Messiah, but he knows the Messiah is coming. Now we have no argument, hopefully, this evening about the fact that Simeon was a special man. Read it in the scripture. Verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the man was just and devout. And he was waiting, eagerly expecting for the consolation or the comfort of Israel. And he was all that because the Holy Ghost was upon him. Special man. It's grace that makes him stand out in the crowd as a beautiful tree with a deep root. That's how I picture him. Crowd of people there in Israel. Also here in the temple. Every day. There's a lot of people there. But you see there Simeon standing as a tree with a beautiful crown. That's Simeon. He's a man of grace. And there's two things about this man that the scripture here records. He is a man who is just. And he's a man as devout. Now, I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to first take the word devout. The word devout describes the inner condition of his heart. Yeah, think of the word devoted. Think of the word committed. Think of the man as a man who is devoted and committed. Now, literally, the Greek word is taking hold of. So, Simeon is a man who has grasped firmly and surely the scriptures that God made known to him. That's what he's taking hold of. He's not taking hold of vain dreams and all kinds of silly ideas.
This man is taking hold of the Word of God, the Old Testament. And because of that, he has become devout. He's a man deeply rooted in the Scriptures. He's a man deeply grasping the mind of God as it's made known to him. And because of that, he's also just. Now the word just describes, as it were, the outside revelation of this devotedness. He's a man that's well behaved. He's a man who lived admirable. He's a man who was a godly man. Here we got Simeon. It's a gem. Give us churches like that. Follow him. And Annas too. Those are the quality people that the Holy Spirit here sets before us tonight. But let's not forget that Simeon used to be just like we all are, or like we all were. It's grace that makes the difference here, congregation, not Simeon. As Simeon, he has a beautiful name. He didn't always decorate his life, I'm sure. His name means he who hears. Now, he was listening, all right. He was hearing, but not to God. He was listening to himself. There must have been a time in the life of Simeon, unless he was converted from the moment he was born, but we don't know that. So I'm going to just assume he wasn't. But all the same, before God changes our hearts, we're all the same. We have only one God, and that is me, I, and myself. That's the one we serve. We serve ourselves, and we serve our own agendas, and we serve our own purposes. And we can clothe it in religious phrases, and we can clothe it in all kinds of ways, but to the core of the being, we are self-worshippers. Whether we are a youngest son who goes into the world, or we are the oldest son staying home, keeping all the rules, we are ultimately exactly the same. So was Simeon at one stage. Man loving himself. No doubt a man struggling to make the best of life. To be the top of the class. Because we all want that. No doubt a man who struggled with pride. Proudness. How do I know that? Because I know myself a little. Some of you know yourself a little too. So when we get to know ourselves, we know we're all made of the same fabric, right? We go back to Adam. We all come from the same source. We all have the same heart. I would not be surprised if Simeon in that stage was a very unhappy man, even though he pretended to be happy. Because we do that a lot. We live in the world, we live separated from God, but we're going to make the best of it. And we're going to put on a face to make it look like we're really happy, but we're not. Young people, often when I look at you and you look so pleasurable and you seem like you have so much fun in you, but you're not happy. Inside is fear and there's insecurity and there is, am I good enough? Or do I measure up to my peers? Right? You always want to be looking better and more. Is he not happy? That's mankind. We're never happy. Simeon was that way too. When he started listening and kept listening to himself, he is not a happy man. We don't know the real details of his life story. We know absolutely nothing about this man except what we read here. He could have been wounded along the way. He could have been one of those neglected kids like we have today. He could have been a man who had gone to some abuse or some whatever. We have no idea what this man has gone through. And the Holy Spirit doesn't want us even to think about that, but I just want to bring him before you. He's a man like us. Before we look at that, what's now motivating you at this stage of your life as you sit here? What drives you to be what you are? What's making you make the choices you make? There's something that does that. There's something that is driving us. What's controlling us? There's something that draws you, that motivates you. How do I know that? It's like the compass, isn't it? The moment you take the compass away of everything that's metal, and the needle goes back to the north. Well, take everything away that distracts you. Your work, your family, your toys, your pleasures, your vacations. You can sit alone. What's that needle of your heart go to? What's it long after? What's it hunger for? Listen to yourself. What is the needle pointing to? That's controlling you. Where the treasure is, there is the heart also. And in Simeon's life, that's how it was, just like in all of our lives. But somewhere and somehow in his journey, this man was changed by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, it is obvious the Holy Spirit is on him, it says here. So his heart has been opened somewhere to hear differently. We have no clue how God has done it. You know, God loves variety. Just look at the flowers and the colors and the shapes. God loves variety. Just look at all the sounds. Just look at all of us. Not a single human being is the same in this world. God loves variety. And so in the spiritual realm too, God loves variety. He brings people to know Him in a million different ways. I would love to know how Simeon got to know what he did get to know. But the Bible doesn't tell us, because ultimately that's not so important. We make so much of the stories. And ultimately, congregation, though the stories are wonderful to share, they're not the essence, is it? God may use a friend. God may use an event. God may use a pamphlet. God may use a preacher. God may use a neighbor. God may use the law or the gospel. God may use all kinds of things, but somehow God made this man feel he's missing out on something. Have you gotten there? Somehow, Simeon began to feel, I am missing out of something special. That's all what the Holy Spirit wants to get accomplished in our life. To make us feel that. And He may use all kinds of ways. Have you felt that already? Have you come to a place in your life where you begin to say, I'm missing what that woman has. I'm thinking of Ruth. Naomi had nothing to offer to her. No future. But Ruth said, no. I want to have what you have, Naomi. Your God, my God. Moses, at the pin of all his successful career, and all of a sudden he realizes, I am missing something that those people of God are having. See, that's the Holy Spirit's purpose. No matter how he got you there, are you there? Have you begun to see that you're missing something very special? Now, I assure you, you're missing something very special. If you're missing God the Father, you're missing everything. If you have no relationship with Christ, you got nothing. 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 Without hope in a world that's dying. Special to have the Father, to have Christ, to have the Holy Spirit. But somehow, Simeon, as I said, was having his attention caught and he began to listen. I began to listen to God, I began to listen to his conscience, he began to listen to his teachers and preachers and who knows who he was listening. And all of that did something, congregation. It made this man feel inwardly very sad. Oh, it didn't say that. Yes, it does say that. Because he is looking eagerly for the consolation, the comfort of Israel. That tells me that this man walked on the earth with a great sadness in his heart. And nothing could take away that sadness in his heart. He's been looking for consolation. Now, undoubtedly, he's tried a variety of ways, and I am not having any clue about what he tried, but I'm thinking of that woman that came to Jesus to touch the hem of her garment. Maybe something like that. That was a very, very sad woman. She has had a problem for 12 years. And listen what it says. And she suffered many things of many physicians. And she spent all she had. She was nothing better, but rather grew worse. So she has a problem. But it's not the sickness that made her feel worse. It were the curers and the cures that she's trying while making her feel worse. Maybe Simeon too. And all that made him feel more and more. I need something better. And I'm sure that... No, I'm not sure. I'm going to ask you this evening. Has God gotten your attention that way too? He's been opening our eyes and making us see that we're missing. Missing everything. We're missing Christ. No other comfort can help you. No other person. Fill the void. Somewhere in this journey and in this search for real comfort, the Holy Spirit discovered to Simeon the gospel promise. It says in our scripture here that there was a man who was waiting for, and it says it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now look at the word revealed. That's that word I just talked about, that uncovering. Somehow God, through the scriptures, has spoken to Simeon and he has revealed to him, Simeon. We don't know what portion God used. We don't know what sermon God used. We don't know what text God used. It doesn't really matter, does it? But we do know that the Holy Spirit has used something from the Word to reveal to this Simeon that he was going to see the Lord's Christ before he died. Somehow, his attention was brought to the Messiah. Has the Holy Spirit ever done that to you? As he has preached to you, or you read him from the scriptures, have your heart ever skipped a beat? When you saw something of Jesus, the awesome Savior. When you realize that little word, breaker. What a gospel. He's a breaker. When you hear he is a king of the needy and helper of the helpless. When you learn to see that he is a rock upon which I may hide myself from the God I sinned against. He's seen something of that glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Simeon must have begun to see. The whole prophecy of the Messiah began to work in his heart as some burning fire. That makes him wait. See? There's something he's waiting for. There's something that he's expecting. And what is it? A promise. A promise of the coming Messiah. And he gets to believe that he would actually not die before the Messiah would have been coming in the flesh to be in Israel. And somehow that sustains this seeking man as he continues, as it were, to lay his finger by the promise. Now when God has sealed the promise to your heart, do not forget it. And God has made you hard to hope on His Word. You'd like to be reminded of it. He wants us to take that Word back to Him. He wants us to plead that Word. Simeon did so. Anna did so. They have been waiting on God. And friends, it may be a while. It may be long. It may be short. But let me just read this very promise to you. You have need of patience. That after you've done the will of God, whatever that may be in your life, you may receive the promise. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will not tarry. And now, the just shall live by faith in that promise, and he will come. Keep your finger out there. As you bow before God, remind him of it. Simeon, he eagerly waited on the Comforter. Because indeed, he did not have the Comforter yet. He discovered it. It's been sweet, but not there yet. Maybe compare it to a man who is struggling in a raging ocean of water. And he's fighting to keep his head above the water. And he's gasping for breath. And then he sees in the distance the rescue boat coming. Now, that's going to give him a boost, isn't it? Give him energy again to keep on waiting. And he hears the horn blasting. And he hears the motor humming. And he sees it coming, as it were. Now, maybe he didn't see that. But Simeon is sustained in his hope. And that's what the Spirit does. I want to remind you again of that statement. The Holy Ghost was upon him. He keeps on pouring the oil on this Simeon. Keep his hopes alive. Now before we pause in singing, what's drawing you now? You recognize this longing of Simeon after Christ? His hunger and his thirsting of your heart to know him, to be yours. Let's sing. 22, verse 1 and 3. How long wilt thou forget me, O God, O Lord, thou God of grace? Could have been Simeon. How long shall fears beset me while darkness hides thy face? And what follows in 22, 1, 2, and 3?
Finally, the journey of this man led him to Christ. And that's also written for our instruction tonight, congregation. One day the Spirit urges him to go to the temple. It says in verse 27, he came by the Spirit into the temple on that particular hour and that particular day. There's no real hint here whether he was there every day. It was Anna who was there, it says, day by day. But whether Simeon was, we do not know whether the man had time every day to go to the temple. Might have been a working man. But that day, he's dropping everything if that was not his custom. And he is going to the temple. So he's drawn to. Now, why is he going to the temple? Remember the first Advent, sir. About, I want to dwell in your midst. Make me a tabernacle. I will meet you at the mercy seat. In this temple, is that exactly again? It is here where the Old Testament church worshiped. It is here that they came to be instructed. Especially those, at least, who lived in and are about Jerusalem. It is here that David prayed, Lord, one thing have I desired, that I may see thy beauty in thy temple. And undoubtedly, it's a prayer that Simeon has prayed many, many times as he walked up to this temple. May I see thy beauty. And may you see thy glory, O God, as my heart is thirsting and longing for the consolation thou hast promised that would come in this country. Yet, he'd never seen that consolation. Heard about it, not seen it, not tasted it in his soul. So this day, Spirit is drawing him, or driving him, or leading him actually into the tabernacle, into the temple, sorry. Longing to see the Lord's Christ. That's how you come here, right? That's how you come, prayerfully, throughout the week. Because it's in the church that you can meet Christ as he's preached to you. In the Word. And maybe you've gone home oftentimes disappointed and let down. Maybe you indeed come with the let down feelings of the poet, Lord, I am weary of my crying, my throat is dried, mine eyes fail, while I wait for thy promise, which seems to fail forevermore. Maybe that's how you come these last couple of weeks again. If you look toward and forward to Christmas. And the coming of Christ. And yet you've gone home feeling disillusioned. That day, he comes by the Spirit into the temple and he sees there two young parents with a little baby to do for him after the custom of the law. We just read it. I will not expound it. But every child, man child, male child, had to indeed be brought to the temple in order to be presented to the Lord, to be redeemed. It's the firstborn, it is. Had to be redeemed, not to be a Levite. And so they had to bring in sacrifice. All the other boys of the Levitical tribe were not redeemed. So Joseph and Mary, gone to the temple this day. Somehow the Holy Spirit tells him, that's him. That's him. The one I promised. There he is. Now, did Simeon know what to expect? It's doubtful, congregation. It's God's church universal confession.
things never go as I expected it to go. I am sure Simeon wasn't waiting for this. Maybe he stood there for a moment thinking and maybe struggling. Lord, that's the Messiah? This little baby? With this young couple? And obviously extremely poor because they're standing with two pigeons in their hand. His mind is making conclusions. He said, now, Lord, wait a moment. Is this the Messiah that you promised? Is he struggling with the same thought that Naaman was struggling when he got to hear this, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan River? And maybe Simeon said, behold, Lord, I thought that when this Lord Christ was going to come, he wasn't going to come like this. I would not meet him here in the hands of this young couple with their first baby. Nathanael later on says, now, he cannot come from Nazareth. God always goes a different way than you expect, congregation. Let's learn from that. And I'm sure that Simeon here also for a moment must have stand there as it were struck with, now, that's not what I was thinking, Lord. Am I now mistaken? Is this really one that thou would send? But then, notice what happens. And I'm going to take a moment with you to walk through those verses very briefly. Then he took him up in his arms. He walks up to Mary and he takes her child. Now I think to Mary this must have been a complete stranger. And all of a sudden this stranger walks up to her and he asks her, can I hold your baby? Now we do that sometimes too and we cuddle them, don't we? It's what Simeon must have done. Can I hold your baby? And it says in our text, then he took up in his arms the child. Now, I took my Greek out this week and I looked up that word took. Sometimes you get so familiar with the passages that I get a little lazy and don't go into my Greek. Into the Greek, rather. But the word took here is what I put on your outline. It is the word receive. It literally means to receive by a deliberate and a ready giving what is offered to you and making it your own. He took this child out of Mary's hand and he made that child his own. So wait a moment, that's not your child, is it? But that's what he did. That's what it means. He took the child deliberately as it was given. No, it wasn't given by Mary, congregation, to Simeon. No, notice what Simeon says. I have seen the Lord's Christ. He's taking this child out of God's hand. It's the Holy Spirit that tells him, that's my Christ. And here comes Simeon. And he says to Mary, may I have this child? But he really takes the child out of the hand of God. Have you ever done that? I am holding Christ before you Sunday after Sunday. That's my task. To offer him to you. John Calvin would say, the preacher has to lay the child in the very lap of the hearer. I'm trying. Have you ever taken him like Simeon? Have you ever deliberately and consciously and faithfully and humbly? And I forget the other words that Helen Brooke would quote in his beautiful little catechism as the act of faith. Have you ever taken him, received him? And then he says, and he took him in his arms, and he blessed God. See him standing there in your thoughts? He has his child in his arms, and he lifts up his eyes to God, and he blesses God. Now the word to bless is eulogia. That means to speak well. And to celebrate the gift with praises. He is lifting up this child back into God's presence, congregation, and he thanks God for this child, for the Christ, for the Messiah. This is Simeon's Christmas day. He's taken the Christmas present out of God's hand, and he is returning back to God to bless him. Thanks for that unspeakable gift thou hast given in this child. Do you understand the significance of this child? Without this child in your hand, you're going to sink out of God's presence forever and ever when you come to meet him. Without this child in the arms of faith, God will be a consuming fire. But with this child, by faith in his arms, he may not only bless God, but look what he says next. He says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Congregation, for many years I kept on always thinking, he's asking, Lord, I'm ready to die now. Let me now depart in peace and let this life end. Now that may have been at the depth of his thought, but that's not really what he's saying. Let's again look at the words. The word depart is a very critical word here. He's requesting God to dismiss him in peace. The word depart is the word that a judge may use when he says, you're free to go. Depart, I dismiss you. That's the word. That's what Simeon is asking. But how can you ask this judge to dismiss you in peace? You're a guilty man, Simeon. You got a record behind you that you cannot deny. You're standing before a holy God. He knows your ins and outs. He knows what you like, what you've done, what you might still be doing. How can you ask this God at this moment, Lord, let me depart in peace according to thy word? Well, the reason is, mine eyes have seen thy salvation. He's standing with this child in his hands. And he's saying, Lord, let me be discharged in peace on the basis of what this child is going to do. And this child is going to die. For Simeon, wounded for my transgressions. And now Simeon asks, Lord, dismiss me in peace. The just shall live by faith in Christ. No other thing, no other way. No other righteousness, no other means. And this is a sacred moment in Simeon's life, congregation. Undoubtedly, Simeon has back here many, 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 many times. Because as he walks out of the temple, he destroys the peace again, doesn't he? And we do it every day as we fall and falter in our sinful living. And every day this Simeon has gone back, maybe at least in spirit, with this child again. Is that how you live before God? Oh, we don't have to tell the Lord, oh Lord, I'm so terribly sorry. Well, you may tell him that. But that's not going to take away your sin. You say, oh Lord, I've repented. Tell him that. That's true. But that's not going to take away your sin. This child only. Thy salvation. I have seen it, Lord. With mine own eyes. Here I'm standing. And on that basis, congregation, Simeon may also begin to preach, because once you have tasted grace, come, you want to know, you want to share it with everyone. But look what he says prophetically, thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. God prepared this child. It's God's present. And He's prepared it not just for Simeon, but for the face of all peoples. Oh, come this evening. You got no reason to exclude yourself on the basis of this scripture, that you may also take hold of this child. Oh, you cannot maybe do it like Simeon, but do it then like that woman, who only dared to touch him on the bottom of the garment. Or then do it like the one who glanced at the raised up serpent in the wilderness. But look to Christ as you plead before God for mercy, for grace. Let not your eyes be on anything else but this child, and let him be in your hand as he is presented. Notice what is happening, or what would happen in this child. In verse 22, they would have to present this child to God. And that's what Simeon does at this moment. He presents him in his own place. Therefore, dismiss me. And interestingly, Simeon says, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. You would expect that the opposite way, right? The glory of Israel first and then the light of the Gentiles. But here's a prophet here. The Jews rejected him. So God has sent the scriptures and the gospel to the Gentiles. But don't forget, there is still a promise here. It comes after the Gentiles have seen the light. Then the glory will also be seen by Israel, God's covenant people. That's still to come. That's still prophecy. Now we're going to close, friends. Maybe there's a couple of questions and objections and thoughts in your heart this evening. How can I receive Him since I'm so unworthy and unfit? I'll answer that real quickly. The reason of receiving this child, nothing to do with you. Perish that thought. If it was because of you, there would have been no child. Ever. It's God's sovereign good pleasure to give this child of His love. And the reason of his receiving it is not in you, but God's own word. Notice what Simeon says. Let thy servant now go in peace according to thy word. What is that word? It is the promise of God. And the promise that came to him. And the promise that come to you. Oh, I urge you this evening again. Fear not to own the Lord's Christ. Don't fear to own him. As your mediator, as your only way, as your only door, as the only truth, that is God's own warrant in the scriptures, in which the scripture says this. And I want to remind you of one text that maybe will undo your fear. In John 6, there stands a multitude of people that are the most audacious unbelievers in front of Jesus. Just fed 20,000 people. With 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And they have the audacity to say, now, if you can't do a bigger thing than what you did yesterday, we won't believe you, and we will only believe Moses, because he gave his manna for 40 years. You know what Jesus answers to that crowd? Moses gave you not that bread, but my Father giveth you the bread of life. Don't you ever sit here thinking, it's not for me. The Father, when He preaches Christ to you, gives you the bread of life. Well, you take that bread. You say, I don't know how to eat it. What is it to receive Him? What is it to receive Him as my own, as Simeon did? A congregation, that is the act of faith, isn't it? That's an act of trusting. That's an act of indeed entrusting ourselves to the Word of God to receive Him. That is an impossible thing from our side, but God makes it possible. You have to receive. It's like what children do. Jesus says, except you become as a child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, what do children do when you give them something? Have you ever heard a child say to you, oh, I'm not worthy to receive that? If they look at your face and you, they see your love and your smile and your gift, and you say, come, child, this is for you. Then there's no child that says, yeah, but no, you can't give me that. I'm such a bad boy. Well, they could be saying that, but mostly they don't they? They receive it as a child, believing what you're saying. Now Jesus says, be like a little child. My message that I bring to you, I mean it. And do not resist, congregation. If you cannot receive Him, if you dare not to receive Him, then go tell Jesus that. Go tell Him that. Go tell Him tonight. Lord, I don't know how to receive Thee. I don't dare to receive Thee. Such a response is better than standing unmoving and unresponding, because then you resist the Holy Spirit. And you quench Him as well. So if you feel caught tonight, you don't know how, then go speak to Jesus about it. And confess it. Don't walk out of this day without having been at the feet of this Savior. And lastly, how can I ask my holy and just God to dismiss me in peace? Well, never on the basis of your own things and your own merits and your own life, but only in the posture of faith as it is pictured in verse 28. He took Him up and blessed God. What Simeon does here is what every offerer did when he walked into the temple. Except now Simeon did it, not with an animal, but he did it with Christ. And he stood there with his hand. Lord, receive me on the basis of this child. Then you may pray and dismiss me in Thy peace. Only then, if you're relying on this, and may I then remind you of the promise, as Paul writes in Romans 5, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray together. Blessed portion, Lord. Oh, what a rich day for Simeon. Thank Thee for having brought him to that day when he could so take this child and bless Thee and feel in his heart the peace between Thee and him. And undoubtedly, Anna also had a day of her life when she could find that child likewise. Lord, and so hast Thou gone through the history, delivering sinful people by faith in this living Savior. And we pray for that tonight, that Thou as the author and as the finisher of all faith, also grant this evening something like Simeon's faith and Anna's, to take and receive this child deliberately out of Thy hand, O God and Father, that Thou hast sent him as the bread of life and art giving it, him, to us. Unbelievable that Thou art willing to do so and to rain upon us the heavenly manna Sunday by Sunday. Lord, go with us as we go out in this week again, in the work, in the travels, also those of our visitors who are traveling on or traveling back to their home country. will thou safely guide them, help them to enjoy the beauty also of their time here in safety. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.